joined on the line now by Liam Horan, Managing Director of Sleenua Careers. Liam, good evening to you.
Good evening, Aidan.
And welcome to the programme. And just as we were coming out of that commercial break, Liam, my screen here has jumped and crashed, so perhaps you'll bring us through the problem for this week.
No problem, Aidan. Glad to do so. It's from FD by email, who says, I'm on the other side of the fence. I'm trying to hire a new member of staff. It's my own company, and we have just three employees. I'd really like to get it right. It's very important. Is there anything in particular I should look out for? As I said, that's from FD. And it's an interesting question, because hiring people, as you know, is a huge issue for companies. If you take a company of this size with three employees, bringing one more person in is 25% of their staff. It's like, you know, a company in Galway bringing in 300 people, perhaps, or the larger multinationals in Galway, or Baxter and Castlebar bringing in a few hundred people. So it's a huge decision for FD. And I'm going to take a leap of logic, or I'm going to take a leap of faith, I should say, and presume that FD knows the technical requirements for the job, as in, you know, have they certain skills, certain experience, that they're not going to consider somebody who doesn't have that by and large, and maybe look at other things in the makeup of the successful candidate that might point him in the right direction of the candidate. And this is an area that interests me a lot. In fact, it's one of the questions I regularly ask recruiters, people in HR, what do you look for beyond the obvious? And in fact, I recently did an online poll. They got 167, I'm just checking it here, 167 people voted on it about if you were forced to separate equally qualified and experienced job candidates using just one of the following disparate criteria, which would you go for? And the four that I put into it were, they're an early riser, they coach a sports team, they're a perfectionist, or they're lazy. Okay? I'll let you guess, actually, which of those four turned out to be the one that people would place most faith in. I'll give you them again. They're an early riser, they coach a sports team, they're a perfectionist, and they're lazy.
Early riser?
No, that was 22 point, it was second, just narrowly second. One, they coach a sports team was the winner by, took almost half the votes, 46% of the votes. They coach a sports
team. So why? Leadership?
I don't have the detail beyond that, but my sort of projection would be, and this is from as well talking to people who work in recruitment, that you can learn a lot by what people do in their spare time. So somebody who coaches a sports team is at some level contributing to their community or to their sports club or whatever it is. They understand what it's like to deal with people. If you think about managing a sports team, you've got 15 or 20 young people all mad to be on the team, all with competing, you know, priorities, so to speak, with parents perhaps throwing their tuppence worth in as well. It's quite a complex job, and it's not for the faint-hearted, generally. It can sound like something nice and easy to do, but we all know about the phenomenon of overzealous parents and overzealous participants as well. So I think that's one part of it. And I attended a talk given by a senior HR person in Coca-Cola some years ago in GMIT in Castlebar, and they said that the first thing they look for, that she said the first thing she looks for in a CV, or very early in her search through a CV, is to check what they do in their community, what they do in their spare time, that the decisions they make there tell a lot about them. And maybe something about just being well-rounded or well-adjusted or well-used to dealing with people that comes from coaching a sports team as well. So I thought that was a very interesting one. It didn't surprise me, I have to say, when I put it in the poll, I expected it to get the lion's share of the vote. So that was one that definitely came up. One thing, a tip a recruiter I knew very well once upon a time gave me about when recruiting people, is to observe very closely how they deal with you when you're going through the recruitment process. So if there are two or three emails, or if there are phone calls to be made, confirming time, all that kind of thing, how well do they could go through that? And I have passed it on to a number of people recruiting, and they've all found it very useful, because if somebody is attentive to detail, if they're courteous, if they're thinking about what you need to know, if they're thinking about how to make it easier for you to recruit them, these are traits that will come through in the recruitment process. So if they get back with a properly worded email saying, I'm not available next week, but I am available the following times, do these suit you, rather than just, you know, having more staccato-like conversation, I think that's a very reliable thing, that apart from the skills and the technical stuff we talked about earlier on, how well they go through the recruitment process. Are they able to handle themselves? Are they able to be respectful towards you? Are they able to be, you know, efficient in how they do all of that? That's something that I would see great value in. And you're somebody who has a sense of value on words and a value on communication. I'm sure you would see the value of that as well. Not for every job, but if people take the time to make it easy for them to be understood, and are, you know, all of that, I think, can go a long way as well. The one that came up there about being lazy, of the votes, I've just clicked my own screen away, lazy got almost 21% of the votes, which made it higher than a perfectionist. So more people want lazy people than they want a perfectionist, according to this poll, which I accept is rather unscientific. I think there may be a bit of jest involved in that with some people, but there is something to be said for people who are lazy, to use a bad word about them, but people who don't believe in running around like a, you know, like on a treadmill, but actually say, what is the best way of doing this? We don't have to work the 9 hours a day to make this effective. Is there a quicker way of doing this?
But is that laziness? Surely that's not lazy.
It's not. I don't mean it that way.
The way you do your job, and if you can do it and do it right and your employer is happy, then that's what matters.
I agree totally. I agree with this characteristic being valued. I think there is a real value in somebody who gets the job done effectively and might have clever ways of doing it. So to go from A to C, we don't have to go through B all the time. You know what I mean? And people who are... So I threw lazy in just to see what kind of reaction it would get. But for me, the characteristic is somebody who has clever and innovative ways of doing the job, who doesn't just stay on the treadmill doing it like it always was done, is prepared to find a cleverer way of doing it. I think there's something about that as well, about being able to handle change. You know, that you're able to say, right, we can improve things, or if you have an idea to improve things, I'll go with that. It can be very frustrating for employers to have people who believe there's only one way to do it, who stay on the treadmill, and that's very frustrating nowadays in a remote working scenario where people need to adapt, need to think about other ways of doing the job. And I think that's something that our listeners this evening could look at as well. Can you figure out how are they for change? Are they able to handle things being different? Because the differences we have seen in the last 6 months are going to continue, as we've discussed here so often in the last few weeks. So how do people handle change is something else you may need to look out for, and question them on that. You know, ask them about their previous jobs. How did their job change? Did the last job they were doing change much while they were there? How did they adapt to that change? Did they suggest any changes themselves? And if you go down that line two or three times with questions, you will figure out fairly quickly whether or not they did really embrace change, or whether they resisted it. And by and large, right now, companies need employees who are willing to change.
And just as a matter of interest, why would an employer not like someone who might describe himself or herself as a perfectionist?
Well, the perfectionist can struggle to get things started sometimes because they know it's not going to be perfect. They can struggle to get things done sometimes. And maybe right now as well, where we're all sort of flying by the seat of our trousers a bit, being able to sign it off, so to speak, and say that it's done, you know, that I'm not waiting for it to be absolutely perfect, can be something that people value. I was surprised that only got 11% of the votes in the poll that I did. But there may be a slight fear of it, that it can hold things back, that in an organisation, you know, you can't wait until everything's absolutely right. Things change, things are uncertain. We need to get it out to the client earlier, whatever the case might be. And there's probably a fear that the perfectionist will hold up until every I is dotted and every T is crossed, which is
exactly
maybe more attention to detail than you actually want.
And finally, the early riser, I would have thought that might be the individual on the basis that they're out of bed early, they're at their desk, they're problem solving, perhaps they can best solve it early in the morning after a good night's sleep.
This was second, but a poor second to pick.
Yes, indeed, a very poor second.
Yeah, everybody faded into insignificance behind the coaching of a sports team. I'm an early riser, so I think it's a great attribute. I think people who get up early in the morning get a huge amount done. I think that's never more the case than nowadays, where for months the 9 o'clock comes, the phone never stops, the email never stops, the level of interruptions we now encounter in our daily work is huge compared to even just 25 years ago. I mean, in effect, the postman is calling all day long now in the form of emails. So I think a lot of people who rise early prioritise the early morning or set aside the early morning as a time when they can be very productive with a clear head and no interruptions.
Yes.
I was surprised it didn't get more. I think it says a lot about somebody if they're an early riser, but equally there are those who function much, much better late at night. That's not me. There are people, I have a colleague who says she does her best work sometime between 1 and 3 in the morning. I that wouldn't be me, and she's a very effective person. So it's not a universal endorsement that you must be an early riser.
Of course.
It's a good sign generally, but it didn't feature too strong here. It was in an American presidential race, it was a poor second.
Very good, and we all remember what the current Taoiseach, the remarks he made some years ago. He was on the side of the early riser.
Yes, and Paddy likes to be told straight.
Very good. Look, we must leave it there. Thank you very much indeed for helping me out. The screen, I think, is down for the night, but the programme is almost over. Okay. But for the moment, Liam Horan...
You're able to adapt to change. You can embrace change, Aidan.
Oh, well, look, I don't think so. I'm too old for that now, I think. Don't mind you, I'd probably have the head taken off me for that remark. Anyway, Liam Horan, many thanks.
Thank you.